are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to State of the Art with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.
Yes, indeed you are, ladies and gentlemen, and it is February 6th.
It is. 2014. We're back. We're bigger than ever. I don't know where we were, but we're back. And it's just that magical, isn't it?
I know where
we are. I'm so excited to be here on a cloudy day in Los Angeles.
It's very cloudy. I was just looking. There's the helicopter who is sending reports back.
The helicopter?
Helicopter. What the hell? No, it's probably sending reports back to KTLA.
Yes, probably is.
KTTV.
Monica and I love the when it rains so much, because it rains so infrequently here,
that
we just sit and watch it like it's a movie. We open the curtains and we sit there with popcorn, which gives you an idea how exciting our lives are.
Well, really?
It's magical.
Yes. Like paint drying on the wall.
Need to get out more. We'd like to thank our sponsor, Breakdown Services, the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project. To learn more about Breakdown Services, visit BreakdownExpress.com.
We'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to our live arts calendar, which is coming up later in the show.
Yes, it is. Based on the hit 1968 film of the same name, this Mel Brooks masterpiece chronicles the hilarious adventures of washed-up Broadway producer Max Bialystock and his mild-mannered accountant Leo Bloom as they scheme to get rich quick by producing the most notorious flop in the history of showbiz. What follows can only be answered with a question: where did we go right?
Exactly.
That's you.
It is? Yeah. Oh, there we go.
It says in parentheses, Michael continues?
There you go.
Don't want to lose you in the jargon
Sterling. It's a bad day for me, Paul. Yeah. The producers.
There we go.
All right. So to continue what Mr. Sterling was just saying, ladies and gentlemen, The Producers is a comic tour de force that spoofs. Am I reading your copy?
No.
Okay.
I threw you half of it.
Oh, I see.
Now that we've shown the man behind the curtain.
All right. Let's start this over, shall we?
Yes,
The Producers is a comic tour de force that spoofs the big old-fashioned Broadway musical while paying tribute to it at the same time. The classic score contains such gems as I Want to Be a Producer, When You Got It, Flaunt It, Springtime for Hitler, and Prisoners of Love. With a book by Mel Brooks and Thomas Meehan and music and lyrics by Mel Brooks, The Producers is right here in town and playing at two locations, the second one coming up after the first one closes. So you cannot miss it, ladies and gentlemen. And today, Paul, are you listening?
Yes, I am.
Today, we are joined by two of the show's highly acclaimed stars. Please welcome Jeff Skowron and Hillary Michael Thompson.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you? So nice to have you in studio.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Well, appreciate having you here.
And we're going to be talking to them very, very
and
shortly.
And they drove all the way in, which
I
really appreciate.
Hillary especially has a little bit of a drive from Huntington Beach.
You're from there originally, right?
Yeah, I'm from Huntington Beach. I lived in New York for about 12 years now, but I'm from here.
Oh, that's got to be nice to come back with a show like this.
Yeah,
huh?
It's great.
Oh, that's so great. Looking forward to talking to you.
Thanks.
And Jeff, thank you so much for joining us as well.
Yeah.
Do you live locally, Jeff?
Yeah, it took me 9 minutes.
Took you 9 minutes. And yet you were late.
That was it,
which I didn't want to say, you know?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, before we speak to Hillary and to Jeff, Paul, how was your week?
My week was magical. I do have a beef, but I'll get to that in a moment. I want to talk about positive things first.
Okay.
I got new headshots taken this past weekend.
Wow.
And because when you're my age and your hair is turning gray, if you don't do it every like 8 months, you get, oh, these are kind of old, these shots, because look at your hair, you know? Yeah. So the gray hair sort of sentences you to staying on top of it, which is a good thing anyway, because most people don't look like their headshots. But I really want to stress this: these people that I went to, and this is not a commercial, they have not asked for this, was something that I had done and paid out of my own pocket. Theo and Joe, I'm going to say his name is pronounced Theo, but it's written TheoandJuliet.com. That's T-H-E-O and Juliet, the traditional Shakespearean spelling, .com. And what a blast the experience was. I haven't even seen the shots yet because it was just Saturday. All I saw was them flipping the camera around and showing me what the pictures they took, and I'm so impressed by them and how they work. And so much of the time, actors go in for headshots, and what they really want is portraits. And this is one of those things where you really have to throw yourself over, because you know me, Michael, right. I'm a control freak like you are, and put yourself in the hands of the people who know what they're doing.
Yes.
And go to their website. You will see a ton of celebrity pictures up there. Not that that makes them better photographers or
right.
anything, because
it's funny they don't have the word photography somewhere in there, or creative, or something in there.
No,
website.
Well, they do a lot of design related things, but cannot recommend them high enough. I will, by next week, I'll have some shots to show you, and then we'll show them on the air.
Oh, that's that would be nice.
We'll show them on
them.
The air. We'll describe them.
Yes, we'll have Jeff and Hillary come back.
Yes, exactly.
And describe.
Ooh, Paul, you're so pensive. Thank you. Thank you. No, what I wanted to tell you that was annoying me so much is you hate when people talk on cell phones in the theater.
Oh, right. Yes.
But here's a new thing. I was at Subway recently because, you know, I frequent Subway. It's nearby.
Yes.
And people talking on the cell phone while they're just having lunch by themselves,
right.
That's one thing. That's a little irritating, you know. But you can't get too mad at them because you're only really getting half of a conversation. And if two people were sitting there, you'd have the full conversation to annoy you. So I sort of like looking at it that way. But this is a new thing. Wi-Fi. The FaceTime with the person and not putting a headset on.
Mm-hmm.
So you're getting both sides of the conversation. Have you ever experienced this?
No.
It is quite possibly the most annoying thing you could do to anyone around you in a restaurant. You know, talking in the FaceTime, the person speaking, it's basically like speaking on speakerphone in a public place. Yeah. Have either of you encountered that?
I have not.
You have not?
I have.
You have?
Yeah.
Like in restaurants?
Have
or
you ever
just
done that, Jeff?
Yeah, no, I never do that. I always excuse myself and go outside whenever I have a phone call.
Because you're a gentleman.
As do I. Am.
Yes.
As do I. You know? I didn't want to say it. It was Jeff. And now you've ruined all of it. No, I'm kidding. But anyway, that was my...
It sounds
like a petty annoyance, but
no,
I know that you're...
No, it's not a petty annoyance. You know, it's dangerous. You know, I mean, not in a restaurant like that, but that's rude. That's just rude. But I'm more like in the car stuff, because what people do in their cars, and you know, now you can really tell, because if you're behind them and you're at a stoplight and the light changes to go... And there's a big dramatic pause with the car in front of you. Why is that? Because they're head down.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Their thing.
Yeah. So I found out, you know, because I have a convertible and I have the headset that I have to wear the headset because the other ones aren't loud enough when you have the top down.
And it's also to keep your hair down, isn't it?
Well, yeah. But my hair, you know, you see this hair. I'm working the B. Arthur right now. Children, you know, you couldn't move this hair. But you can't have both head buds in while you're driving. You can have one in.
It's illegal.
But if you have two in, you could get it. You can get
really?
A ticket.
Yeah. A hefty ticket.
Wow.
Yeah.
Very hefty. Close to $300.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I mean,
so how was your week, Michael?
Well, you know, I mean, just to kind of stay on this little bandwagon, I don't know whether I said this in a previous show or not, but this did happen very recently, and I was astounded at this, the sight of this. At a department store outside... An infant in a carriage, in a baby carriage, and the mother sitting on the curb having a cigarette right underneath the baby. So all of the smoke was wafting up to this child.
Wow. Hmm.
And she never batted an eye, and she was on her cell phone, of course.
Yeah, I know.
And I wanted so much to go over to her and say, what the hell are you doing? Yeah. You're killing your own child.
Yeah. Just right, just like almost like she situated the child to be in the line of fire.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. No thought. My goodness.
And the baby was talking on a cell phone.
Yes, she was on his cell phone. She was talking to him on the cell phone.
Exactly.
So, yeah, there you go. Shall we get to it?
Michael, yes, introduce Jeff if you would be so kind.
I will. I'm happy to do that. After landing, ladies and gentlemen, a development deal with the IFC, which is the Independent Film Channel.
Yeah.
For the hilarious series Greg and Donnie, which he not only co-wrote, but he also stars in the show.
Really?
Our first guest moved to Los Angeles last year and landed the coveted role of Leo Frank in 3D Theatrical's critically acclaimed award-winning production of Jason Robert Brown's Parade. His performance earned him Los Angeles Theater's highest honor, an LA Stage Alliance Ovation Award as Best Leading Actor in a Musical 2013. He also dazzled LA audiences in the Los Angeles premiere of Silence the Musical, a musical parody of the film Silence of the Lambs. And this past summer, he was featured in Musical Theater West's stellar production of Sunset Boulevard. His Broadway credits include co-starring roles in Enron, How the Grinch Stole Christmas, The Lion King, Beauty and the Beast, High Society, and working opposite Hugh Jackman in the workshop of The Boy from Oz. Yes, it's true, ladies and gentlemen. Please, he's here. Please welcome the uniquely gifted, multi-talented Jeff Skowron.
Yeah, baby. Nice. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
He just blushed on that.
Look. You got so much more information than I had.
I did.
Where did you get that?
Well, I know Jeff, so I know a little bit more about his background.
That was all correct. I love it when information's correct.
Good.
Well, that's Jeff, when you hold up the card like that, we just got to read it. That's what we do.
The only man with cue cards in L.A.
So, thank you for the large type, though, because that helps. We're grateful.
So congratulations, first of all, on an amazing performance in 3D theatricals. Mm-hmm. The producers, Mel Brooks, the producers. I mean, everybody loves Mel Brooks, and I must say I was there on opening night, and wow, Paul.
I'm excited.
He and his wife are going
Monica soon. And my mother and brother are going to be in town because they're visiting some friends. Not me. They're not visiting me. They're visiting some friends. And we're going to all go down for when you're in Redondo Beach.
Yeah great. Yeah,
toward the end of the run.
Such a lovely theater over there, too. They're both wonderful. Plummer Auditorium, historical theater, boy, is it ever, and very valuable to keep that one alive, as 3D Theatricals so well does. But I must say, really, the company 3D Theatricals, based on your performance in Parade and the production itself and everything that they are doing, is of such extraordinary high Broadway caliber. This is really putting them up on such a level that other regional theaters have to aspire to get there now, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And they're also the nicest people on the planet, so they treat everybody with dignity and respect.
Mm-hmm.
And, we're professional actors are hired in abundance, actually.
And it's like it's like a family business, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. No,
there's
like 3D is it like three siblings or something?
It is. It's T.J. Dawson and Gretchen Dawson and Daniel Dawson.
Wow.
And they are probably three of the smartest people I know, actually. Yeah. They're very, very, very in tune to good taste and good theatrics and bringing it to Los Angeles. We are blessed to have them.
That's
really
great.
Yeah.
But, Jeff, this is your second show with them?
Yeah.
Parade was the first one with them?
Okay. Yes.
And that was the one you got the Ovation nomination. Was it an Ovation nomination?
Award.
Really?
Best actor in a musical.
Never won one.
You were nominated.
I was nominated, but I didn't win. Oh, look at the time. So this role, this Leo Bloom,
Leo.
Yeah.
I mean, how much of a meatball role experience is it for you to tear into that every night? How much are you loving it?
Oh, it's great.
Yeah,
it's great. I mean, I'm like honestly surrounded by so many talented people in the cast, and I love Mel Brooks. And when TJ asked if I wanted to, the TJ Dawson of 3D asked if I wanted to do this after Parade, I said yes because I love working for the Dawsons. I love working at 3D. They're great, great people. They care so much about the final product. And this has just been really fun. We have a great director, great choreographer, and we all are having a really good time.
And your director, David Lamoureux, who has been on our program, Paul, before, is also the musical director for the show. So he's wearing two hats for this production. He's directed it and musical directed it.
That, I actually like that when I see that in a program. It's like, because there's a uniformity of vision to it, It's always, it's one of those things I look for.
This feels, though, I've seen the producers before, quite frankly, and this is my feeling about when I sat there watching this unfold on the stage, I felt a real fresh rendition of this.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. And you'd seen it, but
I've seen it before,
See, I never have. And I'm very interested to see. I mean, we're always interested to see what happens to the film when it becomes a musical. When we saw, where did you send me to see Young Frankenstein, Michael?
Musical Theater West.
That was Musical Theater West.
Yes.
And that was just wonderful to go down and see that. You know, here it is. It's the comparisons are ridiculous. It's a completely different animal when it's a stage play. But it's nice when you see your little gems or bits or things that are sort of pepper and salted throughout it. And especially when you see that some of your favorite bits have become song titles.
Yeah.
It's like you're looking for that.
Yeah.
You said you were a Mel Brooks fan. What were some of your favorite Mel Brooks works before you knew about this? Because I find it interesting how people's age, you're much younger than I am, but how their age sort of dictates their favorites, because his career has spanned so much time.
Yeah, I mean, really, it was the producers and, you know, Young Frankenstein.
Okay, there we go. Producers, Young Frankenstein, and Blazing Saddles are my three. But in that order.
Yeah.
I do think Producers was his Sergeant Pepper.
Yeah.
I do think that's just wonderful, and Young Frankenstein is just is wonderful as well. What about you, Michael? What about you, Hillary? Do you have Mel Brooks' favorites?
I honestly, I haven't seen that many, but I love the Producers, and I love the original film. I think it's fantastic, and I love how the Broadway musical today, and especially, you know, that we're doing now, is so similar to the old movie, and the lines are almost word for word. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny that Zero Mostel did not have much of a film career. He had this tremendous stage career, but he didn't have a film career. You see him in Producers, and he's almost too big for the screen, he's just so bombastic, and he's Zero Mostel. That's what Zero Mostel is. And in that film, it just works so perfectly because he's just, you know, he's Max Bialystock, and that's what he would be larger than life.
As did, of course, his cohort Gene Wilder.
Gene Wilder,
pretty amazing. Yeah. And, you know, what I was so very impressed by with Jeff's performance in this show was the fact that the last time I had seen him at 3D was in Parade, in a very dark and very fascinating musical, based on history, a piece of history. And Jeff's performance in it was so stellar and so very different from what he's doing in The Producers, which is a complete turnaround because it's all of that shtick that, you know, for him... I wasn't doubting that you could do it. It's just that I was surprised that you did it so well.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it's interesting because normally all my history has been predominantly comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I was so excited when I got to do Parade, you know, doing this sort of dark, dramatic, you know, role. And that's, but it's funny, The Producers is more similar to what I've done throughout so far in my career, you know, that sort of comedy. So, That's the norm for me.
Are you a believer? Are you a believer in the old adage that a strong comedic actor is more inclined to be good in dramatic roles than the other way around?
I mean, I suppose. I don't know.
Well, I just think I always believe that comedy is more difficult.
Yeah, it is. I mean, because there's yeah.
So, but you couldn't get more two different Leos if you tried, could you?
Yeah.
Just Leo Frank was the person.
Yeah.
Right. That's the true story. He was accused of molesting or killing a child in a factory in the South, and he was Jewish.
Yeah.
Yes, okay. From New York.
Stick with me while I just do the whole synopsis. Well, from my fading memory.
Yeah.
Anyway, speaking of my fading memory, I now have crib notes in front of me to make sure I get all of this information right and let people know how they can see either one of these performances. The first, of course, now currently playing at the Plummer Auditorium, and tickets for that is www.3dtshows.com. That's 3dtshows.com. And, of course, the Plummer Auditorium is 201 East Chapman Avenue in Fullerton, California. And it is there until February 16th, after which it goes on to open February 21st at Redondo Beach Performing Arts Center. Same website for the tickets, 3dtshows.com. And the Redondo Beach Performing Arts Center is 1935 East Manhattan Boulevard in, oddly enough, Redondo Beach. Imagine the odds. So we'll throw that information out a couple more times before the end of the show, but just wanted to have that out there.
You know, back to Jeff, with regard to the dimensions of his talent, I watched an episode of your TV show.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Great.
Very funny. And it's a whole nother departure in a whole nother direction.
Jeff's like, good for you.
No.
I'm kidding.
And I hated it. No, not at all. But it was, I didn't know what to expect.
Yeah.
What is the premise? What is the show?
Of Greg and Donnie, you mean?
Yes.
Greg and Donnie was a show. I'm part of a group with my writing partner named Matt Yeager. We were part of this group. We did sort of internet sitcoms when they first started being done. Our first one was called The Berg, about Williamsburg hipsters in New York. That was like 2006 we did that.
Okay.
And it got us a lot of recognition, and we started doing other shows, All's Fair, about people trying to save their Renaissance fair. And then we did this one. Matt and I grew up in Pittsburgh, outside of Pittsburgh, and we it's a very specific type of character, an accent that, of the people that live there, and we decided to do
that's
this.
That's what killed me.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and we, that's, you know, how our families talk, and, you know, we...
Can you do a little bit?
Let me think. Well, come down to Fullerton and see the producers. Yeah. So...
Wow.
Yeah. And IFC discovered our show and bought it and developed it, and we shot the pilot, and unfortunately it had to go to Nielsen testing and did not do well there, so it did not get picked up to series, but we're pitching our
are people able to see it
now.
Still like on your website or something?
Mm-hmm.
What is the website?
greganddonnie.com.
right. greganddonnie.com.
yeah.
Okay. It's just so funny because down the street when I was growing up, there's a family lived down the street named the Bars, and they were from Pittsburgh, and every single one of them had that accent. It was just like, I just went home for a minute there. Oh, it's astonishing.
Yeah.
Come down
yeah.
full of, oh, that's so
and I love
because it's got that sort of flat. It's got that little Midwestern kind of
yeah.
flatness to it.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
it's not quite Chicago.
Yep,
you know?
Exactly.
And his character is just a very simple guy and, who's married to an Italian woman yeah. who's got quite a mouth on it.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah.
There's a huge Italian population in Pittsburgh. Isn't
yeah,
there?
Yeah, Italian, Polish, which is what I am. Yeah.
Oh, you're man, Italian and Polish?
No, I'm Polish.
Oh, Polish.
Yeah.
All right. Very funny, though. Very, very
GregAndDonnie.com.
Yeah.
yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Cool. I'm all over that. I'm all over that.
So what's next for you, Jeff? What are you thinking you'd like to do, or do you have something already in the wings?
Well, we're actually, my writing partner and I are pitching our, we have two other pilots we're pitching, we're mm-hmm. going to be pitching this coming year, and hopefully we'll sell one of those, and I'll be on it.
He's very dedicated on his writing.
Yeah.
He is. He actually allocates time to do it,
yeah.
don't you?
Yeah, every day.
You're pretty religious
yeah.
about
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's a great, one of my favorite, I'm a huge Leonard Cohen fan. I love yeah. Leonard Cohen. And he has this great line. He said, if you're going to call, because I write as well, he said, if you're going to call yourself a writer, you've got to go to work every day.
Yeah,
yeah exactly.
And that's, you know, a lot, and it's so simple and eloquent, but it's like, yeah, you kind of have to,
yeah.
you know.
As it would be if you were a songwriter. You
yeah.
know, the same thing.
Yeah.
You have to play the music.
Do you like the process of writing? Because I don't.
No.
Yeah, okay, good.
No.
What is it about it that you don't?
Because I always thought there was something wrong with me because I find it heroically lonely and,
yeah.
and soul-crushing. And then I Kurosawa, great filmmaker Kurosawa once said, they asked him why he made movies. And he said, so I have something to edit. And that's the way I feel. No, but that's the way I feel about writing. It's like I don't like the initial process of getting that clay on the table.
Right.
But once it's there,
yes.
I will tweak for days.
Exactly.
I mean, I just really enjoy that aspect
exactly.
of it. Are you similar?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, well, because sometimes you get stuck and you don't have any ideas. And I've discovered that it just takes time. It's time that it
yeah.
takes. Keep going and going. I write with my writing partner over Skype or Google Hangouts. It is. You type okay. live on a document. You type together. You talk together. That's how we write.
Really?
Yeah.
What's it called? Google?
Google. It's Google, and there's Google Docs where you have your document. There's Google Hangout where it's like a Skype, and you talk. You can put it in
YouTube. Does Google
wow.
Hangout allow screen sharing too?
Yeah, I think so.
Really?
He knows how to do it. He's a
okay. So now I got Greg and Donnie.
Yeah.
I got Google Hangouts. I'm just gonna
yeah.
stay after the show because
yeah, yeah,
I'll
yeah.
have more internet questions
yeah.
for you.
No, yeah, it just takes like hanging out there and just like talking for hours and trying to break through, and then you'll get an idea and then go with it. You know, it's
but as do you also find I find this to be so having a writing partner is so essential to your own creative accountability.
Oh yeah,
like when you have someone to report to.
Sure,
you know, it's like it keeps you far more on
sure.
task
sure.
than
yeah.
if you're writing by yourself.
Yep.
Well,
yeah.
Wow. Something. Let me ask you one last question
yeah.
about the producers before we go to our arts calendar. Your interpretation of your character, how much of that really came from you and how much of it was coming from your director, from David Lamoureux?
I think, I mean, David Lamoureux is brilliant. And he's
yes, he is.
And he's a good friend of mine.
Yeah.
And we have the same sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was like anything... You know, he'd suggest, I was like, yeah, I'll try that. Anything I would come in with, he would tell me whether that worked or not. And, like, basically, I was allowed to sort of create my own thing
mm-hmm.
with him pointing me in the right direction. It was good because we both speak the same language, so it was really easy.
Well,
yeah.
That paid off.
Yeah.
Megabucks.
Let's do our arts calendar.
Yes.
And then we will introduce the lovely lady to my right. We can chat with her about the show. That would be Hillary Michael Thompson, who's going to be with us shortly. But before we chat with her, our arts calendar. It's delightful. It's delicious. It's de-lovely. International City Theater opens its 29th season with the California premiere of Let's Misbehave, the music and lyrics of Cole Porter. Over 30 classic songs by Cole Porter are woven together to tell the story of three single friends in 1930s New York who make a pact to find true love. Their quest is all in good fun until the two women, Alice and Dorothy, find they both have eyes for Walter. It's clever, funny, and irresistibly romantic, featuring songs like Night and Day, Begin the Begin. Is that correct?
That's correct.
I never knew if I had that right. Begin the Begin. And Anything Goes, from one of America's most beloved and prolific musical theater composers. Let's Misbehave is playing through February 16th at the International City Theater, located in Long Beach Performing Arts Center. For reservations and information, call the ICT box office at 562-436-4610 or visit internationalcitytheater.org. And theater has the R-E spelling.
If you're elegant.
On the interweb.
Filled with sunshine and light as a summer breeze, The Light in the Piazza is an exhilarating musical that follows the Italian travels of Margaret Johnson and her stunningly beautiful daughter, Clara. When a dashing young Italian captures Clara's heart, Margaret is compelled to reveal the secret about her daughter. And as she struggles with concern about Clara's future, she must decide whether or not to release her hold and bravely give the young lovers her blessing. With a book by Craig Lucas, music and lyrics by Adam Gettle, and based on the novel by Elizabeth Spencer, The Light in the Piazza is directed by Kent Nicholson, and incidentally, Paul, co-stars our pal, the sensational Broadway star, David Burnham, who co-starred in the U.S. national tour of the show. You can see both David Burnham and Light in the Piazza now playing at South Coast Repertory Theater through February 23rd. And for tickets, call 714-708-5555 or visit scr.org.
David Burnham.
David.
Incredibly talented guy. It's just a shame he's so homely.
I know. That's what I tell him every
the
time
guy
I see
just,
him.
I mean, oh, it's so sad.
Yeah. Really.
It's like chiseled out of marble, that guy. I tell you, believable. Our next guest is a Huntington Beach native, as we mentioned earlier, and is thrilled to be returning to California to perform a dream role in her home state. Her Broadway credits include Hugh Jackman, back on Broadway. She did the Broadway national tour of A Chorus Line and other New York City in credits. Big Fish, Girl Crazy, Liberty Bell, Gypsy of the Year, is that correct? Mm-hmm. And then we get to television, Golden Boy, Fox and Friends, with the regional theater credits, including Crazy for You, Thoroughly Modern Millie, Oklahoma, Singing in the Rain. If only she could have done some good musicals. Holds a BFA from NYU's Tisch School of the Arts and would like to thank 3D Theatricals, and we thank them as well. Please welcome Hillary Michael Thompson.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm great. That applause is so funny.
It is.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. They're just on the other side over there in the lobby now. Yeah. So, yeah. We bust them in. So, you.
Yes.
Miss, I must say. I think I
Miss
told
Thang.
You this on opening night. Yeah. You were spectacular.
Oh,
that's
thank
even
you.
Understating
wow.
What your performance, really. You're not only beautiful in person, but you are amazingly beautiful as this character.
Wow, thanks.
And the lightness and the so spot on interpretation of who she is, you just nailed it.
Thank
you.
You
really do. I mean, the audience has a fantastic time watching this beautiful woman.
Wow. Thanks.
And she is getting the laughs left and right, I might say. It's, you know, you got to be careful on the stage with her, right?
Yeah.
You amazing. So are you having a good time doing this?
I'm having
this?
A blast. Now that I have it all learned and I feel solid, now is the fun part. And now I'm having a lot of fun.
Isn't there a little synergy between the two of you? Didn't you get her this job? Or?
Well, I introduced her to them, yeah.
Yeah. No, yeah, Jeff, he emailed me and said, hey, they're looking for an Ula. You know, send in your stuff. And so I did. I sent in a video audition, and they cast me. So it was pretty wonderful. Yeah.
Now, if I remember correctly, I haven't seen the show. I haven't seen the play. I saw the film. But your character is much more prominent in the play than in the movie.
In the film, she kind of, in the old film, she just kind of makes appearances here and there. Yeah. She just kind of pops out and does her little Swedish thing and pops right back out again. But in the movie, or sorry, in the stage version, she has... a bigger role. She has a big song that she sings, and she kind of plays the love interest of Leo Bloom. And
lucky guy.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun.
And, you know, will you indulge us? Because the character's name is not just Ula.
Ooh.
Would you say her complete name?
Yes.
All right.
Ula Inga Hansen Benson Janssen Tallenhallen Svalden Svansen.
Wow.
That's worth the price of admission alone.
Yeah. Well, save that as a comedic monologue.
Okay.
You have that in your back pocket. Oh. So now you, you said that you weren't especially familiar with Mel Brooks' work or too much for you to follow it. But when you went back to watch, did you? I'm always curious about people's process. Did you watch the film in preparation for your audition?
I did. Yes. Actually, surprisingly enough, I hadn't seen the original film.
Mm-hmm.
I only knew the musical version. And so after I was cast, I went back and I watched the film, and I just loved it. And I just loved how similar it was to the Broadway musical, and just the humor and the, it's contagious, this show. So it's a blast. I love it.
Oh, it sounds it. It sounds, I'm very excited. We should play a little bit of it.
Let's
Michael,
do that and give the audience a reminder of the good taste musically
yes.
of this show.
Yes,
because it is truly hilarious.
And this is from the. This is not the cast that we have with us here.
No,
although I'm
the,
sure they are equally as good. This is just what we were able to sort of scare up on the.
Well,
on
it's
the
from
worldwide
the motion, from the
net
motion picture
yes.
soundtrack.
Yes, yeah. This is from the motion picture soundtrack, and obviously this is from the producers.
One of the great moments in the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, just hysterical.
Spectacular.
Hysterical.
I was just saying to you off air there that David Engel, who plays Roger Debris, the hack kind of very happy-go-lucky director.
And his assistant, Carmen Gia, is that
yes,
his?
Yes, and who is equally as brilliant. My God, I haven't seen that ever performed that well. My goodness. But David, of course, you know, transforms into, he has to go into, maybe I shouldn't even say that for people that haven't seen the show before, but that song is specific to David when you see it in this production and any other production on the stage.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
And in the movie, I guess so, too. But he does an amazing job, David Engel.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good. Well, I'm excited to see him.
Yeah.
Hillary, I was reading through your list of credits here, and it's
yes.
just a really sort of, I don't want to say it's a who's who of musicals, but it's certainly some just classic musicals. Are there favorites that pop up for you
yeah.
in your memory?
Oh, for sure. Chorus Line's my favorite.
Oh, yeah?
Hands down.
Yeah. And who did you play in Chorus Line?
I played Christine, She's the character who can't sing.
Oh.
So I have an entire funny, goofy song about how I can't sing. So.
And is it true? Someone said this once before, but you actually have to have some singing skills in order to sing that in properly?
Sure. Yeah. Well, I mean, you have to sing the rest of the show, so you have to be able to carry a tune. So.
Of course.
But yeah, in order to sing off-key, you kind of have to have an idea of what off-key is.
Or what on-key is, so you can avoid it. Yeah. And that's really just far and away your favorite.
I just loved touring. I toured for 6 months with that show around the country, and I just loved that show. That was when all the stars align and it's a great cast, great show, good time in your life, and that was it. So.
Did you do that with Vinnie Caronte?
I did.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yes, I know. He's done so many tours of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's wonderful.
Yes, he is. You didn't do it at Musical Theater West, did you?
No, I didn't. But we came through here to the Pantages several years ago, 2010.
And Big Fish. Big Fish was a workshop. This was based on the film?
Yes, was it was. Okay. Yeah. So I did the workshop of that show with Susan Stroman in New York last year. And that was pretty spectacular.
How was it working with her?
It's fantastic. She's a brilliant woman who... She's pretty quiet, you know, when she's in the working room. But she just... You can see that all of her wheels are spinning, and she's just a very creative genius. She's just wonderful. So I had a great time meeting the real Susan Stroman. And now doing her choreography on this show is even better.
I'm curious about something, too. You mentioned that it was in your bio as well, originally from Huntington Beach, coming back to your old stomping ground to do this. Is it more anxiety producing when you come home to perform to people you know, or is it easier on the road when you're farther away? I know how it is for me, but I was curious.
Surprisingly enough, I think it is harder doing it here because I know everybody coming to see this show here. Like, it's friends and family and my parents' friends and family, and it's fun pressure, you know, because when you go on tour, you're performing in places you have no clue who's out there. And,
right.
You know, you can do your thing and have fun with it. But
you won't have to talk to them afterwards. Yeah.
I've had, great support, and my family loves having me home. So, and I get to sleep in my own bed at night.
That's awesome. Yeah. Oh, and for anyone who's been on the road for any length of time, they know what that's like.
Yeah.
Getting home is hugely important.
Do you take your own pillow with you on the road? Some people do.
No, I didn't. Yeah. I actually love hotel pillows.
I take my own pills with me on the road. Is that the same? Lady! Hello. No, that's Monica's thing. Monica is not to the manor born. Like, she doesn't like fancy cars or clothes or anything like that, but nice hotels, that's her thing.
Yeah.
That's her thing.
Well, because this happened to me when I first started traveling so much with shows throughout the country and for long periods of time, is you start thinking about who's been in this room before me. What do they do? And, also you're judging the hotel by, it's what standard it is, where it fits into the scheme of whether it's a 3, 4, 5-star hotel or whatever you're living in. So I kind of thought about that.
That's odd that you would think about that.
I mean, camping is something I could not do unless there was a Four Seasons that was right down the street.
Yeah.
I would have to stay there overnight.
Also, a Monica mindset. She's the same way. But I don't know if I would be so preoccupied with who. Like, if I was at a really historic place, like the Chelsea Hotel or something in New York.
Well, that's different.
No. Then I would be more interested in who sort of preceded me there, like what the ghosts and the walls.
Well, absolutely.
Were.
But, not the Ramada Inn, No.
Like, a waitress with fresh stitches in her head in the lobby,
There's a visual for you.
That's a visual that I encountered. I encountered that on the road when I was touring with my one-man show, so that's why. And it was actually, Scranton. It was in Scranton, PA.
Yeah.
And it was just magical. Said I was a fool to dream.
I'm sorry.
No,
here's my little hotel story. Traveling on the road with the 30th anniversary production of The Fantastic starring Robert Goulet.
Oh.
And the first ever fully staged, big stage, 30-piece orchestra production of the show. And it was opening in New Orleans, and I had to get the show open in every city, and then I'd leave, and I'd go to advance the next city, and then I'd come back to the original city for opening night, et cetera. New Orleans, middle of the night, I get there, plane was delayed, I'm super tired, and I check into this hotel, and it just didn't look right to me, but I went through the process. The manager takes me up to the room and opens the door to my room. And there are two people sleeping in a bed. Very large people, I might add.
Okay.
In a dead sleep. And when that door opened, one of them bounced out of bed with a gun in his hand.
What?
And pointing it at me.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I turned. I said, so sorry. And I turned around and left. And I called the show manager.
All right. We'll bring you more towels.
I know.
Take it easy.
And I said, you don't understand. I said, nobody can stay here. Nobody should stay here. And that was the hotel for the tour. So I made them change it for the entire company.
But it was, a fairly reputable.
No, it really wasn't. It was one of those mistakes that happened in the booking process.
Those mistakes.
So, yeah.
All right. Well, all of this is avoided by these two happily being local. Hillary, I wanted to ask you something, too, to get it out there for our listeners. Do you have a website as well, correct?
I do. HillaryThompson.com. That's Hillary with one L.
HillaryThompson.com. So we'll
how many times do you have to say that to people?
Hillary
with one L.
Yeah. A lot.
Yeah. Do you sell things on the website, like T-shirts or Hillary T-shirts with one L or no?
That's funny. No. I should.
Yeah.
Make a little money on the side.
That's it. That lovely jewelry that you have.
There you go.
Yeah.
And one more thing before I forget. The website for your series, I want to... Greg and Donnie?
GregandDonnie.com.
GregandDonnie.com. And while we're throwing web information out there to see these two lovely young people in the producers, you can either go to the Plummer Auditorium if you get there before February 16th, and the tickets for that are at 3DTShows.com, or after that, beginning February 21st, you can go to the Redondo Beach Performing Arts Center, and that's at 1935 East Manhattan Boulevard. I'm so drunk. East Manhattan Boulevard in Redondo Beach, California, 3DTShows.com. I'm very excited to see it.
Well, you should be, and it's getting glowing reviews from all of the media that's seen it so far, and they still continue to come in. So,
yeah. My mother is very excited to see it.
Is she?
Because I called her up. And
I love your mother.
My mother doesn't come in very often, but when she does, I always like to. She's been quite a few times, to visit over the 16 years that I've been out here, and I always have to run things by her. Mom, I'm thinking about taking you to see a show. What? Because I don't want to. I'd rather just sit with you. I don't have to do anything. I can just sit. And then my response is, I know you can just sit, Mom, but I can't just sit if we're just sitting opposite one another. And So I said, the producers, you haven't seen the producers? Who's in that? Well, actually, Mom, the people that you probably know of being in it are no longer in it because she's 60 miles outside of Manhattan. Okay, that's the one with like it's a movie. She's frozen in time. It's a stage play, Mom. Anyway, so she's very excited.
Yay! She'll love it.
Good. I love your mother.
Yeah,
will I get to see her?
What?
I'll see her at the theater.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Good.
No, she'd love to. She listens to the show.
Paul's one-man show was about he played every member of his family, and he has a very interesting family. So with all completely different voices, and it was tell them the original name
of
the show.
It was called Straight Up. It predated the whole metrosexual thing because it was called Straight Up with a Twist, and the tagline was "The world's a cruel place when you're a straight guy with good taste and a great eye for color." And then it was just and it was interesting. It was an interesting journey with it because I wrote it in 99 and then did about 3 years of it, and it was fine, and then enthusiasm started to wane, and I was like, okay, well, I got 3 years out of it. Didn't expect to get more than a dozen shows out of it. And then Queer Eye for the Straight Guy hit.
Oh.
And then all of a sudden, it was like, get that show with the straight guy that everyone thinks is gay. So then I ended up getting 9 years out of it.
Wow.
Yeah.
So
it was a lot of fun. Long
it was a lot of fun.
Run.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
But I tell you, though, one-man show. You were talking about being on the road?
Yeah.
Heroically lonely to do a one-man show.
Yeah, I bet.
Because you got no camaraderie. I was ready to perform by myself. What I was not ready for was all the downtime.
Mm-hmm.
And being backstage 15 minutes before.
You also suffered from anxiety.
Oh, yeah. In incapacitating stage fright and stuff like that.
Hey, I want to ask you, Hillary, since we have just a little time left coming up, but have you done your dream role yet?
Ooh, well, this is kind of my dream role.
Is it?
This is a big one for me.
Yeah.
This is a big check off the list.
Yeah?
So I'm
what else is out there that you'd like to do?
Oh, man.
Thoroughly Modern Millie. You know, mm-hmm. Millie, maybe one of these days.
Of course.
I don't know. Chicago Cabaret, those were kind of in my mind, too. So yeah. We'll see.
Well, you'd be right for all of them. Yeah. Now, are you happy that you've made this move to Los Angeles and that you're...
Oh, I'm thrilled. I mean, I'm here just temporarily for the show, yeah. And then I go back to New York mm-hmm. on March 3rd when it's finished.
This is not enticing you to stay?
No, it is. Trust me.
The sunshine. But what perfect timing. No, I mean, what perfect timing, though, with
the
weather.
You know how many snowstorms I've missed in New York? <It's the best. laughs> No, poor I love it. I'd like to be back here eventually, so we'll see what happens.
But, I mean, you can live out here efficiently in Los Angeles and still audition for New York and yes. go back to New York and audition if they're interested in having you. Mm-hmm. And
I'm definitely bi-coastal. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, and Jeff, you live locally, correct?
Yeah, right. I moved out here. I lived in New York for a long time, and I love it out here.
But you've only been out here a little over a year, right?
Yeah.
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 Yeah, you know, it's very hip to, people from the East Coast, it's really hip to dislike Los Angeles. And then a lot of them come out here and they're just like, okay, I could get used to
well,
this.
Well, yeah. When they've got a car like yours, a convertible driving down PCH, and, in January and it's 80 degrees outside? Yeah. What's not to like?
Yeah. It's that time.
It is.
It's
we
that
have to
time.
Baptize our guests.
Now's the time where we ask both of you to share a tale of woe that happened on the boards and something that is either embarrassing or funny or both. Whichever one of you wants to start. You know, we chatted with let's go to you, Jeff. You have something at the ready?
Yes, actually, when I was doing How the Grinch Stole Christmas on Broadway, I stood by for the for the Grinch the first year I did it, and I was going on the first time I was going to actually go on. It was right after New Year's, and I hadn't had an actual rehearsal on the set or with the cast. It was all like done in a studio, and I'd never had the costume on. I was terrified.
Gosh.
I was really, really, really just. It was very surreal.
Isn't that unusual for Broadway?
It wasn't a long enough run. I mean, it was a seasonal thing,
right.
So I was about to go on, very nervous, and I got a call at 15 minutes before I won't go into it, but one of my friends called, very like not a bad influence type of friend, a very sort of good friend, and they were in jail and needed me to bail them out. They didn't know what to do. It was this freak out, and I was like, I can't do this right now. I'm so sorry. I just can't do this. It's 15 minutes. I'm about to go on. I'm terrified. And so that's all I thought about the whole performance was this friend.
Oh
this
my
girl.
Gosh.
In jail.
So now, all right, without, you know, because you don't have enough on your mind.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. It was really hard. I mean, that's all I thought about the entire time was.
Because, you know, that's an empathetic person. You know,
yeah.
If you're a kind person and you care about other people.
Yes.
Yeah.
What is the, without prying too much, and was it remedied fairly quickly?
Yes.
Do you go see her every weekend?
No. It was something that it was actually a mistake. But she was there overnight.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
yeah. You know, and the brilliant follow-up is that you're so anxious to help her that you show up at the police station in the Grinch costume.
Yeah. I should have.
That would have made some good PR for the show.
Yeah.
Grinch
saves people.
Hillary, what do you got?
Oh, well, when I was on Broadway doing the Hugh Jackman show.
You were arrested.
I was arrested. Hugh Jackman bailed me out. No. I was the swing, so I covered five women in that show, and he was very giving of his time on stage, and every night he would bring us out and announce to the audience our Broadway debuts. And on this particular show, he decided to tell the audience what it means to be a swing, and he told them all about who I am and what I do up there. And then he turned to the orchestra and he goes, "Hit it!" And he hands me the microphone, and I just had to, on the fly, belt out Pat Benatar's "Hit Me With Your Best Shot." No preparation.
Did you know you were going to sing that song?
I did not know.
But how did you?
Because the music director. There was a point in the show where the girls had to ad-lib something, and the music director before the show said, "Hey, Hillary, if you ever go on for this role for one of the girls, what would be your go-to song?" Just so that the orchestra could be prepared. So I thought nothing of it, because I was like, well, they should know what my go-to song would be. So anyway, so I just told them and didn't think anything of it. And then he hands me the microphone on stage, and I just had... You can't say no to Hugh Jackman, so... Oh,
he's wacky. He's wacky.
It was a blast. It was really special.
Oh, so. But now, though... Did he know he was pimping you? Did he know that he was throwing you under? You know.
Oh, he knew.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah. He played
like
it.
My mind is just like, oh, he thought you had prepared it or something.
No,
like.
He likes to surprise people.
Oh, okay.
How was it? You must tell us all. How was it working with him?
Oh,
he's a nice man, isn't he?
He's wonderful. Yeah, he's fantastic.
Yeah.
There isn't a star out there that's more genuine than he is. So that.
And he's
really
been with the same woman for like 20-30 years. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw there was something, I think it was like CBS News Sunday Morning, and he just seemed like such a genuine...
Mm-hmm. He's just a normal guy, you know, and he's very talented and very giving of his time. So it was a really special time
that's
for
great.
Me.
Yeah. That's so nice.
Yeah.
Well, right. What a
this
nice
has been great.
Hour.
This has been
yes,
great.
Indeed.
I'm just going to throw the information out there one more time. I'll just give the website because we don't have to give both locations because all of that is available there. 3DTshows.com. And it's just that easy.
Just three that easy, yes. But now, yes. But we should tell the dates. People have up until February 16th to see it in Fullerton at the Palmer Auditorium.
That's right.
And February 21st through March 2nd at Redondo Beach Performing Arts Center, a beautiful theater right there by the ocean. Go down, have brunch, you know, by the ocean. Go over, see a fabulous show with these two fabulous people and the rest of their fabulous cast.
Yeah.
Right?
So looking forward to it. And, one more thing, Michael, I want to tell you. I don't know if I told you this, but our film, my film, The Beating, the short film I wrote, got chosen by Columbia College. The script got chosen to be their template for their track in teaching short film production.
Amazing.
So a very exciting
film about bullying that he has written
very
and stars
exciting.
In. And
so. Good for you, Paul. And we go to Sedona in a couple of weeks for the film festival. Very excited
fantastic.
About that. Pleasure meeting both
thank
of you.
Thank you, Jeff.
Hope
thank
you had a good time.
Yeah.
All right.
And Michael,
you're
always a
back
pleasure.
Anytime. Thank you, Paul. See you on the radio.
You're listening to State of the Art with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.